Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. The last time that Jesse and I sat down and recorded an episode, we talked about swimming with dolphins and snorkeling with, all of a sudden, I was like, what are they called? Snorkeling with
fish. Stingrays.
Stingrays, yes.
They were just rays because there were no stingers.
That's right. They were just rays. We should have clarified that. I clearly am getting into my old age because I can't remember words like that. But then also, Jesse, today, oh my goodness, I could not find my phone.
Okay, welcome to the club.
Yeah, I guess that's true. This is a daily occurrence for you. But for me, I usually know where my phone is. Today, I could not find my phone. I was sitting on the couch downstairs. I was working. And the whole time I was working, like in the back of my head, it was going, I need to figure out where my phone is because I had some work things that I needed to do on my phone. And I kept thinking, where did I put my phone? I don't know where I put my phone. So I went upstairs. I went all through the upstairs. Could not find my phone anywhere. I was going to text you on my computer to ask you if you could, because you were gone. And I was going to ask you if you'd please make my phone ding so I could figure out where my phone was. And I came downstairs.
And it was right next to you?
It was right on the couch. I've been sitting on it the whole entire time.
By the way, you can make your phone ding from your computer.
Well, someone just told me that if you have Siri on your phone, you can just go throughout the house and be like, hey, Siri, where are you? Where are you? And
hey, then, Siri.
And then your phone will say, I'm right here. So
we got to try that, I guess.
Here, Siri. You definitely need that. That's for sure.
So I've heard about like calling the hogs and even like at certain state fairs, calling husbands and what have you. So now we can just do call Siri.
Call Siri. But that's apparently funny. I don't have Siri set up because we've been saying all this and my phone is sitting right here and Siri has not said anything, or Siri is in a coma or something. No, but
Siri's just being obstinate.
Okay, so we are going to talk about my trip to Utah, because in the month of July, August, like the end of July, and then it was basically in a 4-week period, I ended up having 3 trips, which is very out of character for how my life has been the last 5 years. But was just how it all worked out. And so if you did not listen to the stingrays, non-stingray, snorkeling with non-stingrays rays, or the swimming with dolphins episode, we will link that in the show notes and you can go back and listen. But today we're going to talk about my trip to Utah. And Jesse, I think that you're going to sort of interview me.
This is news to me.
I did say before we sat down that you were going to interview me.
Before I pushed the button to record, you said, yeah, you're going to interview me. I'm like, okay.
I'm just seeing how, you know, sharp you are in your old age, because you are very close to 45. Very close. It is
within spitting distance.
It is happening. Like when this podcast released, you will be so close to 45. And I will be very far away from 44, because that's not happening for like 4 more weeks. So. Okay, what would you like to ask me about my trip to Utah?
Can I ask questions that I already know the answer to?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
You might learn something new.
Probably not.
What's that supposed to mean?
So what was the purpose of this trip to Utah?
So I actually did not know what the purpose of the trip was. And so that sounds really interesting that I would say that, but I am part of a mastermind. There are, I believe, 13 women in the mastermind. It is led by Megan Hyatt Miller. Her dad is Michael Hyatt, if you have heard of him. And they have an online business. They sell the Full Focus Planner. She leads that business now. And so she put together this mastermind. It's been about a year and a half. It started March of 2024 for CEOs of businesses, and they're all women CEOs. And her heart for it was to just really gather women who want to live intentionally with their life, and their motto for their business is the double win. So win at work, win at life, and to really help them to live that out, to have, you know, succeed in your business, but also not to the detriment of your home or vice versa. And so that is really what the heart of this mastermind is. So 3 times a year, we have in-person meetups. They are usually right here because she lives in the same area that we do. And so usually the women come from all over the country and come here. And so it's great because I don't have to travel anywhere. I can stay at our house overnight, and it's just really great. But they wanted to do a retreat this year for something different. And so they picked Utah, which I have only been to Utah 2 other times and only been to the Park City area 1 other time. It's gorgeous. So I went not really knowing what it was going to be. She just said, prep that it's going to be very retreaty. That's what she said.
And that's dangerous.
Different than our usual meetings. Our usual meetings are very laser focused on building our businesses and really being intentional. And we talk about, you know, just all things finance and AI and leadership. And I've learned different things like the terminology SOP, which I didn't even know. Lots of things that these women are, most of them are leading much larger companies. And so I went into it as someone who, you know, has this online business. Most of all of them have brick and mortar businesses. And so it's just a very different way when you're dealing with, you know, 50 employees and a brick and mortar business than my online business, which everybody's remote. And, you know, we, as of this year, have 15 on our team, but we've grown by 8 new positions this year. So anyway, I went just thinking, okay, I don't know why I'm going, but I'm part of this group. I've paid to be part of the mastermind. It's something that has been really beneficial in my life. And I'm just going to trust God that that's where I'm supposed to be. But it was a little scary to do that because I knew that you guys were making a lot of sacrifices at home for me to go. It was a lot for you to be taking care of all of the things at home. And I just was hopeful that it was going to be something really beneficial. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what it was going to be.
Okay. And what was it like, really hot while you were there, or what was the weather like while you were there? Kind of paint a picture of that.
Yes. It was beautiful. So they told us that it had been very, very hot and dry, and that when we were there, we got some of the best days. So it was a little cool in the morning. Like, you might want a sweatshirt in the morning and a sweatshirt at night. There was no rain, but it was just kind of a little bit cloudy, but mm-hmm. also sunny. So it was that perfect mix of, it wasn't overcast.
You're at altitude too.
Yes. And because we were up in, it was at this very nice hotel that was, you know, up high, like in, at a ski resort basically, but it was off season. And it was just so gorgeous. The first day we did a Jeep tour, which didn't know what to expect for that. It was extremely dusty. That was the thing. I guess they haven't had rain there, which is funny because we've had so much rain here mm-hmm. and they haven't had rain there. And so we were coated in dust because we were in this open air, like on the back of a Jeep, not inside of a Jeep, but on the back of the Jeep. So everything was open air.
So the pictures that I've seen, it's a Jeep Gladiator, which is basically a hybrid between a truck and a regular Jeep. Mm-hmm. So that you were up in the bed of the Gladiator, kind of in an elevated position. And so you were, it's almost like you were above the roof of the Jeep.
Yes, we were, because our driver, when he was looking back, it was like he was literally seeing our legs, you know, like our legs were at his eye level, if that makes sense, like where mm-hmm. we would be sitting, our seat was at his eye level. So we were definitely high up. And it was interesting because I didn't know what to expect. And
I'm assuming there were seatbelts up there.
Oh, yes. They were very, very adamant about us wearing our seatbelts. And trust me, you would not want to not wear your seatbelt. We were bouncing around so much. There were a few times that we came down and just slammed the like there would be a lot of rocks in the road and stuff and just slam down on it. And also there would be trees that would just be grazing us, brushing us. Like you had to watch out for these things because they said they don't really do much to the path. Like they want to have it be very much that it's just like actual.
You're out in the wild. It's, yes. I mean, it's off-roading.
Yes, very much. Like there's no way you would be able to get a normal vehicle up there. Absolutely no way. And we had to go through water in some of the places. They said that when it rains, the water would have been up much higher. But we went through water and we went up and then got to see, we were up at 9,000 feet and just had the most gorgeous views, like at the top where you could just see all around. And it was so beautiful. But it was an interesting experience. You were thinking that maybe I would come home and be like, I want to get a Jeep.
I was not picturing you riding up elevated in the back of a Gladiator.
I was like, you know what? I think about 30 minutes of this and I'm good. But we had fun. They told us that we were responsible for, you know, if anything fell out of the Jeep, like you had to be very careful. You had to hold on so tightly to, they said somebody recently had dropped a phone and they never found the phone because it just like went down the, I mean, there were multiple times where there was a pretty steep drop off on the side. And I was thinking, I wonder how far we have to be tilted over to fall over because there were some times when we were definitely not when there was a steep drop up on the side, but there were we tilted over that much, but still you kind of felt it, you know, because there was nothing. It wasn't like you were in a vehicle that when had.
You're in a vehicle, you're used to being all four wheels. So anytime you have one side elevated anyway, it feels unstable.
Yes. And so that was a very interesting experience. I'm glad that I did it, but it was just so interesting because when we got back, we knew we were dusty, but we didn't realize how dusty we were until Megan had baby wipes and she passed them out and we started wiping our arms off. And there was just like streaks. You could just, when you wiped, it was just a streak of clear skin and then dark skin. It was when I washed off that night, my washcloth was so disgusting and the water that was coming off of me was so disgusting. I just, it reminded me of when we did a Tough Mudder where I was cleaning behind my ears and in my ears and I'm just finding dust in all these places that, you know, usually I wouldn't have to meticulously clean everything, but I was having to because of that. But then after that, then we went to this sort of meadow area. They had actually, this company does not do anything half-hearted, let's just say. And so they had brought furniture, like actual furniture that was, you know, like you would have, like we have in our living room, a couch and chairs. They had two full sets of furniture that were out in these meadows. I'm assuming they just rented them and had them dropped off and with tablecloths and everything. And then
can
they
you imagine
had
that call to Rent-A-Center? Can you just put this in the middle of the back 40?
Well, and the funny thing was, is then there were like people that were showing up to this place that it's like a path that you, it was the trailhead was where we were. And so this one lady, she has her dog and she's like looking at us and trying to figure out why is there all this furniture set up and all these women out there having this gathering there. So that was really, and then
what was the purpose of that? Why would you have the furniture out there?
It was just our kickoff basically. So we did the Jeep tour and then we all met there. And then Megan explained, like basically set the tone for this is what we're going to be talking about and that the theme was flourishing. And so she talked about how we're going to talk about the gaps in our life and the areas in our life that feel dead or dying and how we're going to move from that to flourishing. And then she asked us to be thinking about when was a time in your life where you felt fully alive, where you felt like you were yourself and you were showing up as yourself. And so she said, we're going to talk about that at dinner. So then we went and we drove to dinner. We ate dinner in a yurt, which was an interesting experience. And then we all
shared. What is a yurt?
How do you even describe? I mean, it's this round.
Like a tent?
Building. It was not a tent exactly, but it was made of tent-like material, but it had wood that was holding it up because it was a large.
Okay. A permanent tent.
Yes, basically. And they had like a trailer was where they cooked all the food in, and then they would bring it in to you. So I wouldn't say permanent per se, because it all felt like you could collapse the thing and, you know, okay, take it somewhere. And like the bathrooms were porta potty type of things, like nicer glorified porta potties and stuff. So it was, and it was just kind of out in this
woods. Was this sort of like a residence?
No,
it was a place just where you could go have a retreat and stay.
No, I think all they do is dinners there. It's like a special thing that you can rent, and they have the chef there and they do the dinners. And one of the things,
do they serve yogurt at the year?
Everything was very fancy, and we had to ask, like, what is this and what is in this? It was like the like deviled eggs, but they were pink because they had pickled them in beet juice and then used the beet juice to like put mix in with the eggs. And then it also had some kind of fish mixed in with it. It just, everything was very flavorful and very beautiful. And so at dinner, then we all went around and shared about when was the time that we felt fully alive. And it was a great way to kick it off. We do a thing in this mastermind where it's called the one question meal. And so only one person is talking at a time. So even though they were 15 people in the room, only one person talks at a time, which is really nice, because one of the things about it is if you've ever been in a dinner or a situation where it feels like everybody else is talking to somebody and you're kind of just family sitting dinners. There. Family dinners are not like that. Family dinners.
Extended family dinners.
Everyone is talking, but it's not like you feel like you're out of place. I'm talking about like where you're going into a situation where maybe it's this really nice dinner and you don't know everybody really well. And it feels like everybody else kind of is having a conversation and you're just kind of in the middle, in between conversations. Kind of no one's really talking to you kind of thing. And so the great thing about this is that then everyone is listening to one person, and then everyone gets a chance to talk, and everyone is a part of the conversation. And I really love it. And they always have, every time when we get together, we always have the one question dinner, and we always, they have intentional questions that we go around and answer. And so it was interesting to me because some of the women had a really hard time of coming up with when was the time that they felt fully alive? When was the last time they felt fully alive? And for me, I could come up with a lot of different instances. And I was thinking about to probably 6 years ago, that would not have been the case. But I feel like I look back at my life and the shifts in my life over the last 6 years.
Well, even the last year.
Yes. But in the last 6 years, because one of the examples that I gave was, you know, fostering and adopting and holding these little boys and just how that reframed my perspective so much, because I had done so many different things with the business, you know, kind of hit these levels of success that so many people would just love to hit. And I'd hit all of them and realized this doesn't satisfy, this doesn't fulfill me. And you can always just be chasing after more. There's never a time when you've hit something and you're like, okay, I've arrived, I'm done. There's nothing else to chase after when you are living a life of just chasing. And so for me, fostering and adopting and, you know, medically complex and then disabilities, like all of that combined together, getting to see a mom go from rehab to reunification, you know, all of that, walking with birth moms, it just really wrecks you in a beautiful way. And so I talked about just how sitting there and holding these little boys and just loving them and knowing that there was no more important place in the world for me to be. And I think that it just, I felt so fulfilled doing that, so much more than any other accolade or award or whatever I had won or hit or milestone in the business.
Whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp, or get a head start for the fall, iXL can make learning a seamless part of summer. iXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies, it covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. Silas used IXL in his math class a few years ago, and he really loved how he could work at his own pace, and he loved that he was able to see instant feedback on how he was doing. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies show that kids who use IXL score higher on tests. It will work for any of your kids because IXL uses smart technology to tailor support to each child's level, personality, and learning pace, which I love. It also saves time because one subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, whether they're pre-K up to 12th grade. And also, my favorite part, you save money because if your child is struggling, this is such a great investment. A single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Crystal Payne Show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off your IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. Do you ever feel like it's hard to eat healthfully without feeling like you're giving up flavor or fun? Well, Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar. They're just fruit as nature intended. They're only 80 calories per cup, and I love that it's 6 grams of fiber per serving. That's 21% of your daily value. And fiber is something that I've really been trying to eat more of. Here's the best part. They're being harvested and frozen right now by family farms in Washington State. So when you buy American grown frozen raspberries, you're getting fresh off the field flavor all year long. I love to have frozen raspberries in smoothies. You can put them in muffins or also toss them in a bowl of yogurt with some granola for a really healthy, yummy, and nutrient-packed snack or breakfast. Want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Just go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. That's right. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet that they build for you. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for new to you styles. I have loved getting to use Armoire. It has challenged me to try some new styles. And y'all, I have found some jeans that I have absolutely loved. In fact, I ended up buying them because I wore them so much that I was like, you know what? This is not a style I would have chosen for myself, but they picked out something that fit me so perfectly. And I just was like, I gotta have this in my closet, and I never would have known that. So I love that it challenges you to try some new things, and you get to try it out risk-free because you don't have to buy it. You can send it back and trade it in for something else if you find that that doesn't work for you. So right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Then also, I shared how this was on Wednesday, we had this dinner, and Sunday night, I had served at church,
because I'm stepping back into serving at church, and I had gotten to help with a dinner at our church, and there was about 250 women there, and there were three tables for of food, and they asked me if I would be in charge of just overseeing the food lines, and it was kind of chaos, which you can expect if there's that many women, and a lot of them didn't know one another and all of that. And we're running out of food because more people showed up than we thought were going to be there, and running out of water, and one of the water things starts leaking everywhere. And, you know, then we're out of silverware, and it's just like thing after thing after thing happened because we had more women show up than we were expecting, which is a wonderful problem. But I loved it. And I thought back to whenever I was a teenager and at the church that we went to, like that was my responsibility when we would have church dinners once a month. I would be in charge of getting the food from people, putting it on the tables, making sure everything was organized and just overseen. And I loved that so much. It brought me so much life. And so to get to do that years and years and years later at church, I just was like, this makes me so happy. Serving behind the scenes just makes me feel fully alive. And so it was cool to just have this very recent experience that I knew was like, I was using my gifts and my talents. And so yes, we kicked off the week with that, and that really set the tone for then the next day. We went into, had a much quieter day of...
Was this something though that you stayed up really late in the evening talking?
No.
Interacting?
No. I feel like everybody, because these are CEOs and stuff, they're not late night people. A lot of them go to bed very early and get up early. And so I think I was back to my room by 9:30 every single night, which was nice for me because I needed that quiet and that space. And that ended up just really being a gift for me to have some quiet and space. But the next day was a much quieter day in the sense of we didn't go out and do anything crazy like a Jeep tour, and just stayed at the hotel in the ballroom there and had a lot of time to reflect, a lot of time to journal. And then we did also kind of the one question thing where multiple times through the day, we would sit in a circle and actually everyone would share on a topic and we would all listen while they shared. And part of it was that we made rules ahead of time for like what, you know, one of the things was what is shared in the circle does not go out of the circle. And everybody had to go around and share one thing that they wanted to put on the paper of like kind of the rules for our time together. And I said, no one can apologize for crying. And that ended up being such a good thing because so often someone would start to cry when they're sharing something vulnerable and they would catch themselves of start to apologize. And then that was one of the themes for the week of like, no, we're going to show up as we are. And so it was really just kind of to set the ground rules and to talk about, you know, one of the ladies said permission to show up messy and basically that I'm not going to have what I'm going to share is going to be all thought out and well-spoken. I'm just going to share right as it is. And I think that was really beautiful because it gave us permission to just fully focus on listening to whoever was speaking versus having to feel like in our head, we had to be formulating what we wanted to say because we didn't want to waste anybody's time. And then they set a timer and everybody got the exact amount of time. And if your time ran out while you were still talking, you just had to stop and it went on to the next person. If the timer was still going and you ran out of words, we all just sat there. And in the beginning, that happened more and it happened a lot more because some people, especially who are quiet people, weren't used to having that much space to just talk. And it was really good because like Mary and Megan, who were leading it, said, you know, it's fine. We have no problem with just sitting here. And then if you think of something else to share, you can share. And sometimes they'd sit there for a little while and then they'd start talking again. And so sometimes we had 2 minutes, sometimes we had 3 minutes. You will be very surprised to know that I usually, at least a few times, I stopped before the time was up.
How many times did you get stopped?
Maybe two. And I think we called it circle like 7 times. And so I thought that was pretty impressive that I kind of had wrapped it up right as the time was going.
You're usually really good about working with deadlines and speaking up to the last second of the deadline.
But I couldn't see the timer. So that was the thing. Like, I couldn't see the timer. So I had no idea how much time I had or didn't have. So that was
that's a new wrinkle.
It was an interesting thing, but it was, you know, sometimes I'd be like, I want to be like, do I have 28 seconds or 2 seconds? I don't know. But yeah, so that was really special. And I felt like right from the get-go, people were very honest, very vulnerable. They'd kind of set it up the night before with how people had shared to then just go deep. And we all, most of us all had known each other and we've kind of walked together mm-hmm. for enough time so that it wasn't like we were all coming in and just meeting each other for the first time. And then just really talking about where are those gaps in our life where things feel like they're dead or dying. And it was very good to just ask ourselves and have time to journal and think. And they gave us some different question prompts. And for me, I knew instantly that it was sleep and mm-hmm. it was our marriage. And I knew that I went into it knowing that I needed to find a way to get more sleep. And I really wanted to do a better job of prioritizing our marriage. And so over the process of the first day, as we were going through the different questions and the prompts, and then at lunchtime, we would have prompts. We had smaller tables at lunchtime. So we'd be talking amongst, you know, and I'd say, hey, this is, I'm like grappling with this. And I want to figure out like, how do I figure out a way to get more sleep? And mm-hmm. how do I prioritize my marriage in the midst of everything else going on? And so what ended up, you know, just kind of coming up from all of that time and space that I got was that I needed to shut down work earlier. Mm-hmm. And so that was my big takeaway. And so then the next day we worked on making a plan for our non-negotiables. And so what were we going to go home with? Like, these are my non-negotiables. I will not do this or I will do this. And so for me, it was that I am aiming to have work done by 4 p.m. every day, but that I'm shutting down all screens at 7 p.m. Other than screens could be, you know, us watch a show or something like that, but work-related screens at 7 p.m. And I had been trying to do that by 8 p.m., but recently just with kids starting back to school and all of that and getting into routine and travel and all of that, I had just been shutting off my Opal before it would shut down the apps and going ahead and working in the night. Because mm-hmm. I would tell myself,
till 11.
Right. And in the day, I would be like, you know what? It's fine. I'll be able to work after the kids go to bed. But once I would start working, either I'm easily distracted or there was just so much work to do that many nights I was staying up late and it wasn't good. And so then I put that out there publicly. And now I'm putting it out there publicly on the podcast. Haven't gotten brave enough to share it on Instagram yet. Hoping to do that soon, but I'm just starting with the podcast. And also telling my team that I'm shutting down by 7. And then my executive assistant, who can see everything that I do on the internet, basically. If I'm doing any sort of work, she knows because she can see that I'm on. And so that's a really great accountability source because she knows I'm not supposed to be on and she knows it's something that I'm working on. And so I'm excited for having all this accountability in place. And then we have an accountability group that from the retreat that we're all sharing and keeping each other accountable for our non-negotiables. And I would say just this week of just starting to do that. I mean, it's Thursday. So basically I started on Sunday night. I can already tell a massive difference. And I think you can tell a big difference too. I mean, I hope you can. What are you thinking?
Next question.
You can't tell a big difference. Okay.
I didn't know you started.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Because I told you I was going to do that, but you didn't realize that I had started this week.
Right.
Okay. Maybe it's that internally in my head, mm-hmm. it feels so much quieter.
Like, oh,
that's for me.
I can tell a difference with that. Yes.
And it was interesting because my Aura ring the last 2 days has given me messages about how much time that I have
in restorative
time. That it's restorative time. And it's saying like, I'm having 3 times the amount of restorative time. And I think it's not only because of shutting down work early, but also having this space in the evening where it's like my brain can just breathe mm-hmm. and there's no work to do's that are cluttering it up. And so like, I think that's just calming my whole system down. And so I'm putting this out there publicly because I need the accountability to do this because I really feel like the reason for me to say shut down work at 7, by the way, I need to connect the dots here, is one, because that will obviously lead to being able to hopefully go to bed earlier, which it has been this week. But then two, for you to have time in the evenings where I'm fully present. And I'm sorry that you haven't noticed this week that I've been fully present in the evenings. But just, and I did fall asleep two of the nights. That was the other thing. I wondered if not having the stimulant of any screen two of the nights, I fell asleep super early. Mm-hmm. So, but for you to have that space with me where I'm not distracted, and that's because that's what I was telling the women, how, you know, at night, if we're going to watch a show, we're going to do something together, just like be together. It's so easy for me to just be like, well, I can multitask. Like, we're going to sit here together, and that's us being together. But also, I'm going to catch up on my direct messages on Instagram, or I'm going to do this quick project on work. And so to you, I feel like, you can tell me otherwise, but I feel like that communicates to you, like, you're not really a priority. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have time to just be with you because I'm always so busy. And I feel like, if this is what I was telling them there, how I feel like you are so kind that you're never going to want to cause extra on my plate. So you're not going to ask, hey, could you just be off your phone so we could just be together? But that's what you would really love. And so that's where I wanted to have that cutoff date, a cutoff time at 7, so that there would be that space for us to put the kids to bed and that space for you and I to just, you know, and it's like, we don't have to do anything just for me to be present and there. And I've just been reading and kind of winding down more and just taking care of myself. And it's felt really good. And we're, you know, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, like 4 days in, and I can already tell a big difference. And I'm really excited to see this play out over the next few months and really hopeful.
And so this was day two. How many days was this total?
So we were there, it was two. So we came in on Wednesday. So we had a half day on Wednesday and then all of Thursday and all of Friday. And then I flew back on Saturday. Back on
Saturday.
Yes.
So you came back with a word. Mm-hmm. What was that?
Yeah. So we were supposed to come back. We went into the retreat and we had to choose a word that was like, this is the word for our time here. And the word that came immediately to me was space. And then that was the word that I felt like to leave with. And that was really space to breathe, space to process, space to be present with you, space to sleep. And it's just so much of like space in my brain, space in my day to just be available. And so really reordering my day and my priorities. And one of the big things that I did when I came back home was going over with my assistant, I have too much on my plate, and saying, I need you to take some more things off, which she's so willing and so happy to do. And like sending my daily list to her so that she can see and keep me accountable, see what I have going on, and then offer to help out with things that she can help out with. And that's been huge for me as well, because in order to prioritize shutting down work early, I have to make sure that I don't overload my plate. And so having that has been really huge for me. And also just allowing myself to be needy in a sense of I'm so the personality type of like, I'll just do it myself. Like, let me help you. Let me do it. I can just do it myself. And to just hand it off, that's a really good exercise and practice for me, to hand it off to somebody else and just entrust them to do it and be like, I'm going to take this off of my plate and I'm going to trust you to do it. And I feel like it's actually a blessing to other people when we're willing. You know, Jessica, my EA, was saying, she's like, I don't know how to help you if you don't let me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so she's like, the more information that you can give me, the more that you can hand off to me, the more that I can really be helpful to you. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing too, for you, you know, think space, outer space is a vacuum. You cannot live in a vacuum as far as time goes, because you will automatically fill it with something. Mm-hmm. And for you to step back and say, hey, I can't, I don't want to fill it with something. Mm-hmm. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to be very, very important and honestly, very huge for you.
Yes. And that is my personality, is to just fill up every single teeny tiny crack of my day with, you know, they call it living with intention, but to fill up every single tiny little crack of my day. And I don't think that that's healthy for my brain and my body. And
but so, you can live with intention by living in space.
Yes, like by allowing space. And also, I think that space allows me to be more present with mm-hmm. the people. I noticed this week that I've just been able to send more text and like say thank you more and show up for people more because I'm allowing myself that mm-hmm. space to be able to do that and to even think that in my head, you know, because mm-hmm. we can get so busy that we just kind of, at least me, forget to notice and to stop and say thank you or to just stop and call things out. And so I'm just noticing that. And so I'm really grateful. We ended then with, we took a ski lift, that's what it's called, up mm-hmm. the mountain. And then we hiked down, which I'm glad we didn't hike up. We hiked down and it was a 2-mile hike and it was just absolutely beautiful. I posted some pictures on my Instagram story. We can link to those. And then we had dinner together and then ended with a final time of just going around and sharing. But there was so much laughter. I feel like by the time we got to that last night, we laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed about one of, you know, it's kind of one of those things like you had to be there for it to be funny,
right.
But it was so healing. Like, and that was one of the things I was really hoping for on this trip was space to breathe and clarity for just my schedule and my life, and then also just laughter. And I feel like I got all three of those things, even though I didn't know what it was going to be. It ended up being the thing that I didn't know that was exactly what I needed. And I'm really, really grateful for having the opportunity and getting to go.
If you could pick one thing, what was the most fun thing that you did or the most impactful thing that you did?
I would say the most impactful thing was we were supposed to write a letter to ourselves. At the end, we were supposed to write a letter that was basically saying in 2 years from now, how I would wake up feeling. And it was saying like, by prioritizing these non-negotiables, this is how it's going to impact my life. And I started writing and I literally started with, in 2020, you said yes. And like, it just flowed out of me. And I love that when it happens where I'm not trying to make any words come, they just came gushing out of me. And I had, it was like 3.5 pages that I wrote. Everybody's other letters were short. And it was like, I had all these pent up words that needed to come out. And I really needed to just reflect on the last 5 years of my life and get all of that out before I could move forward and say, okay, now here's how I'm going to move forward. And that, I feel like there was just something that was really powerful, really impactful, really healing for me to write all of that out. I mean, I think I've written like little bits and pieces, but I've never written it kind of like from when we said yes to our first foster placement until today and mm-hmm. then thinking in 2 years from now. And so I have that letter and I just feel like that's something that I'm going to refer back to a lot.
Good.
Thank you so much for interviewing me today on the Crystal Pain Show.
Thank you for the 2-minute notice.
If you've been on a retreat, I'd love to hear from you. Any questions you have, any thoughts, send those to crystal@moneysavingmom.com. Have a great week and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpain.com.